Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
A life-changing spiritual awakening freed Brian Head Welch from a stronghold of drugs and alcohol and prompted him to leave the highly successful band Korn in 2005. Then came a decade-long trial by fire, from fathering a teen lost in depression and self-mutilation to the harsh realities of playing solo and surviving the shattering betrayal of a trusted friend. Brian made the radical decision to rejoin Korn and reconcile with the people he once considered his family. His story is wild, hilarious, and deeply poignant, but his message is simple. God will love you into the freedom of being yourself as long as you keep the relationship going and never, ever quit. And we welcome this good man today on the road. It's tremendous to have you here, Brian. How are things for you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm celebrating my daughter's 18th birthday week right now. So, fun times.
That's amazing. Happy birthday to her from all of us. And as we get introduced to your, what's really a one-of-a-kind story, man, I mean, maybe just paint the picture for us of what a day in the life looks like for you. You're a star of one of the most popular metal bands in the world and also a believer who's just on fire for God. How are you using that podium to live out and to share your faith in some pretty remarkable ways?
Anything I do, everything I do is that, whether I'll do an interview and, you know, it's mainstream, non-Christian, and I'll share my faith. And mostly all of them, you know, all the interviews. And so, you know, I just released my book with my eyes wide open. And so selling those at concerts, meeting fans before and after the show, sharing faith after the show mainly. So it's like, it's just you care, Jesus lives in you. You carry him inside of us. You know, it's easy. He's in us. And so everything I do is a ministry.
A turn of phrase that you used often in the book caught me. You said that there's a joy in living in freedom that you have now and of living as the person that God has made you to be. Can you put into words what that means to you?
It's just about, I was talking to someone earlier about, you know, I was chasing satisfaction before I met God, and I was trying to find my place of arrival. And so when I dreamt about being a rock star when I was 10 years old to, you know, into my teenage years, I dreamt about being on stage and being really successful and famous and all that. And so once I got it in the late 90s, I got, you know, multiple Grammy nominations, 2 Grammy Awards and all this stuff, MTV Awards and all that. And I never felt like I arrived. I always felt like, oh, this is it. There's still an emptiness and unsatisfaction in me. And so as soon as, what I meant by that in the book was, as soon as I met Christ and I asked him to come inside of me and I felt his love for the first time, I felt like I had arrived. And my search was over and everything made sense as far as like, oh, that's why I've never felt like, you know, satisfied.
That's great, man. If we rewind your story all the way back to your youth, which you mentioned there briefly, you've said that you weren't always the popular kid in school, Brian, but how did you find your love for music then, and how did that passion help you cope with some of those ups and downs of growing up?
Yeah, music came right at 10 years old, and life was pretty good then. I had moved from L.A., Los Angeles, California, to Bakersfield, California, 2 hours north of L.A., and you know, it was a rough start. I got a little bullied when I moved to Bakersfield right at the start, but then things seemed to just be pretty normal and okay, and I was just listening to the radio, you know, in mom's car or whatever, and I fell in love with all music, really. I mean, metal was like rock and hard rock or whatever, AC/DC, Ozzy Osbourne and all that stuff. Motley Crue. That was my favorite. But then I loved bands like, you know, I liked Don Henley was on the radio, Joan Jett, and I liked, you know, Journey and 38 Special and, you know, anything that was on MTV that had guitar on it, I was like, I loved it. Tom Petty, like everything, you know?
Sure.
And, so I was just passionate, and I just watched it all the time, and I listened to it, and I asked my mom to give me a guitar, and asked my dad, and he said, yes, we'll get you acoustic, one of the cheap ones, and if you show like you're serious, then we'll get you an electric. And I jumped on that quick, and I got an electric pretty fast because I was like, I want it, so I'm gonna learn some and show them. But yeah, that's how I got my passion for music, though.
That's awesome. As we're talking with Brian Head Welch, the famed guitarist and earnest man of faith. He's written With My Eyes Wide Open. And I want to mention, if you're listening today and just fascinated by Brian's story, we do have two copies of the book to give away. With My Eyes Wide Open, Miracles and Mistakes on My Way Back to Corn. If you visit myfaithradio.com, just look for On the Road. You can send us a note right there from the page and let us know you'd love to enter into the drawing for that book. Brian, as we talk about your youth a little bit, did you have a view of faith and a view of God even from those early years? Well, what was your opinion on supernatural things back then?
We never prayed, never talked about God. Until I was 12, junior high school, I started getting picked on a lot then. And, I was hanging out with some bully kids, and then I got away from them and hung out with this kid down the street from my house, and his family was Christians, and they told me about Jesus. And so that's where the whole thing about God and the Savior of the world and came in. And I actually, by myself, one night asked Christ into my heart when I was 12, because if there was a Savior, I wanted him, you know? And so I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell the family. I didn't go to church. I didn't tell anything. I just asked Jesus into my heart, and that was it. And, you know, just seeing my life from now, hindsight, you know, it's like he came into me then and never left me and never let me get satisfied, never let me feel satisfied in life, no matter where I went. And, until I, you know, came back to him. Because you love me that much, you know.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. The true satisfaction coming just from that relationship with God. And as you're experiencing these beginnings and these pangs of a spiritual life, in terms of the music and your unique abilities as you formed the band and founded the band Korn, what was it about you guys, do you think, that allowed you to just rocket to such success? You already mentioned some of the Grammys and all of the airplay on national radio and MTV. How did it all happen so fast?
You know, it was just being in the right place at the right time. And I don't know if it's, I seem to think that I lean on the side where it's like it was all meant to be, you know, and God had a big picture. Because all of us, in some way, shape, or form, had some kind of a family thing with Christianity, whether it was in our teenage years, younger years, and it wasn't always good, but it was like God's trying to come into family lives, you know. Mine was later when I was, you know, obviously in 2005, my parents became Christian and everything that they are now, but like the other guys in the band, the bass player, Fieldy, when we were like 17, his dad got radically saved and became a prison minister, and right away, and we thought he got weird. And then our singer's dad got saved, and when he was like 13, and it was cool. He had a great awakening, but then he got a little spiritually weird. And there's a lot of, I was telling someone earlier, there's a lot of rock, a lot of people in rock and roll have been wounded by a false religion, or you know, a Christian with the lack of love or something like that, you know? And so, yeah, but it's just funny how God was trying to break into our families, you know, when we were younger in some way, but it just didn't catch, you know, the way it should have.
That's the voice of Brian Head Welch, the famed guitarist and earnest man of faith. He's written the new book, With My Eyes Wide Open, as we welcome him here on the road today for Faith Radio. So alongside the success you describe, you also started to battle with some pretty severe drug addictions, and you've said that they almost destroyed your life. How did those struggles come into your life, and how bad did they get for you on a daily basis?
Well, around 15 years old, I started drinking beer on the weekends with my friend who was the bass player for Korn. And we did it like constantly, you know, and so we did that until probably my early 20s. I tried drugs, I tried crystal meth, and I didn't really like it at first, but I did it because this girl I liked did it, and I was trying to impress her. And so when we started forming Korn in our early 20s, we had a guy that was helping us print shirts and stickers and all that, and he was dealing a little bit of meth, and he was using it all the time, and so we got hooked on it then. And so, but once we got a record deal and hit the road, it was like, we don't want to ruin our lives with drug addiction because we were starting our music career, you know, and we didn't know where it was going to go, but we didn't want to ruin it before we got started, so we stopped the meth, and then just it was a lot of alcohol on the road and functioning addicts, you know. So we did that for years, and then the drugs crept back in, like three albums into it. It was always there. Once I tried the meth, it was like, you know, I didn't like it the first time. Second time, I started to like it. And then it was like my thing, you know. And so I would always go back to it. Sometimes I wouldn't do it for months. And then I would come home off a tour, and the old friends would have some, or, you know, stuff like that. And so, yeah, it just crept in. And then as the years went on, ended up getting married 3 years into Korn, and me and my wife, she got pregnant, you know, and we got married around the same time she got pregnant. And so we were good for like a year when the baby was just, you know, our little daughter, Janae, was just, for the first year, we were okay, but I was touring so much. And then we kind of snuck back into the meth a little bit and would do it once in a while. And then it got worse and worse and worse until she got massively hooked on meth, my ex-wife, and she left her family. And I got full custody of my child. And so that was it. It was like, you know, I had to stop the drugs right then because I had to be a single dad. And I hired nannies and kept touring with Korn. Did okay for a while, and then fell back into the drugs until I turned into a meth addict in the gutter. And I took it all over the world, Asia, Australia, Europe, everywhere, and on tour. And when I ran out, I would have my drug dealer send me meth in the mail and overseas. And it was just, that's when I knew I needed to get sober at least. I didn't have God on my radar, but I know I needed to get sober.
Man, as we talk with Brian Head Welch today on the road, the famed guitarist and earnest man of faith who's written his new book called With My Eyes Wide Open. And by the way, we do have two copies of the book that we'll do a giveaway for. If you'd like to enter your name for a chance to win one of the copies of Brian's book, you can visit myfaithradio.com. And just look for On the Road to enter that today. So at this point, you've painted the picture of how those first seeds of faith were planted early in your life with that neighbor family and your friend's family who are strong believers. But at this point, how does God reach into your life and find you where you are and really just begin to transform everything?
I was on tour and I was a meth addict, but for some reason, I was always good with money because I was so broke before Korn that I never wanted to be broke again. And so I was doing real estate while I was a drug addict. And my partners in real estate were Christian. And they weren't what I thought Christians were. They were just kind of wild too. And they, in a good way, they just were fun and happy guy, great family. And so they invited me to go to church, and I ended up going. And I just got touched by God's love at church. And I raised my hand and received Christ. And I was high on drugs at the church when I went with them, too.
Wow.
And the pastor said that you come to God as you are. You don't clean yourself up ever to come to God. You come to God dirty and messy, and he will do the work in you. Don't be afraid of the grossest stuff that you... And he just told it like it was, you know. And I was just like, whoa, I thought I was going to get lightning striking on me for being in church on drugs, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was just really like that. And so he said, you go to church, you read your Bible, and you hang out with other Christians to grow in your faith, and you will change. And I was like, I'm going to do those things. And if he's wrong, then he's wrong. And I'll try to go to a rehab or something. And so that's when I just decided to do it. I did everything he said, and little by little, I ended up getting rid of all the drugs, and I threw them away one day and took pictures of myself throwing them away and posted them in my first book, and it was awesome. I was free.
Oh, that concept of freedom comes up again and again in your story. Of course, you made headlines when you did come to faith and when you left the band Korn then in 2005. But as you detail in the book, life was far from smooth sailing after leaving the band that you helped create. Tell us just a bit about the trials that you faced after leaving the metal scene and how God made his presence known to you so strongly during that time.
Well, I felt the Lord, you know, say through the scripture and everything, people were like really bold in their face. And I was like, heck yeah, Lord, I'll be bold. I'll tell everybody. And I got the media platform. So I did that. And it was cool for a while. And then I started getting a lot of persecution and from just, you know, people mocking me and all that from the metal world. So I pulled back, and then life was good for a while. I mean, God's presence was so strong.
Yeah.
I took my daughter and I moved out of state to a new, just everything was brand new, everything. And so that was great for a while. And then a few years into it, I met some people I started doing ministry/business with. And they were kind of like me, where they were, one guy in particular was coming out of a dark lifestyle and everything. What happened was he got touched by God, but he wasn't transformed, and he was doing some shady business deals and everything. And I think he had kind of like a gambling type of problem, but he didn't gamble, but he was gambling with like people's money and business, you know, and,
sure.
And it got him into trouble. And so yeah, I lost all my money in 2009, lost my house, my car, two vans, everything,
man.
And everybody threatened to sue me because my friend who did all that, who helped. I mean, I was foolish because I write in the book. It was my fault. You know, I was foolish with the money, but he was just you know, all I could do was the guy disappeared. The guy that my partner, and so everybody was like, sue the Korn guy. So everybody sued me. And I moved out of state again to Tennessee and got two lawyers, and just, I got taken into federal bankruptcy court. I filed for bankruptcy, and then I got accused of fraud through one of the people on the federal, in the federal court. And it was just on and on. It dragged on for years.
Man.
And, you know, I started my solo band and tried to put that out, and it was cool. I had a lot of good times with that, but it was a struggle playing from, you know, tens of thousands with Korn to like sometimes 50 people or less. Like,
sure.
And so, you know, the Lord was humbling me. He was taking he was busting the idol of money out of my life, which I really needed because I trusted in it. And I wanted to see the hand of God protect me and take care of me. And so that worked out good. I got to learn that by faith. And then, you know, the pride and all that, wanting to be famous, all that, you know, Jesus, he's like, will you go somewhere for one person? You know, will you play in a club for 30 people and share my love with them? You know what I'm saying?
So, yep.
There was a lot of, I was eating a lot of humble pie. So yeah, a lot of trials, but I made it through, you know.
There is just so much that's in the book. You talk very movingly of your relationship with your daughter and some of the real struggles that she's had with depression and self-harm. You also talk about the really heartwarming return that you made to Korn itself. And it's a tremendous book. I really have to say, having the chance to read it was really refreshing, I think, for me. And it's such a unique opportunity that you have, Brian. As we have just a few more minutes here, I just thought I'd ask you to explain a little bit about what the unique platform allows you to do. I mean, you talk in the book about praying for dozens and dozens of people after you'll have a heavy metal show, and then you'll go and pray with people and lead people to Jesus. How does that go? How does that work? And I imagine it has to be a pretty remarkable feeling for you.
Yeah, it really is. And it's pretty simple. You know, it's like, all I do is just share my heart. You know, this is who I used to be. I was dark heart. I had a dark heart. And this is who I am now. And only God can do it. And it's not about, you know, some of the negative religious people we've seen in the media or whatever, because the media loves to tell the bad stories.
Yes, they
you know?
Do.
And it's about our intimate relationship, you know? And I just tell my story and I say, you can have it too. And you know, and so we do that any chance we can get, you know, the opportunity that came, I resisted it at first. And my whole story was like, I left all that and I don't need all that. And the Lord just was breathing on my heart saying, you know, I want them, you know, I want you to go back. And I was thinking, why didn't you send me back like 3 years after? Why 8? It's almost a decade. I was so far removed from it, but yeah. I was like, it was so foreign to me, you know, but to go back now and to do all that, it's just, at first I didn't do share my faith like that. I didn't know what to do because I was like, these people are going to think I'm the preaching at them and the Jesus guy. You know, I prayed, God, how do you want me to do this? What do you want me to do? I'll be bold, but, you know, I just want to love on the people first, you know, and not just be preach at them or whatever. And,
yeah.
And so he sent some people in to help. And we went out there and we just were like, let's go see what God does and go tell people about God. And boy, it was impactful. It was amazing. People were in tears. Alcoholics were confessing stuff and like people that were mocking us at first ended up, you know, getting prayed for. And it was just amazing. I was like, oh, this is how you do it. So yeah, wow. Ever since, it's not always easy. And it's like, you know, some nights it's like, oh man, I don't know what the reaction is going to be tonight, but, you know, we don't do it every single night because, you know, obviously if we're in different country and stuff like that, but we do it as much as we can, me and the bass player, or just me, and I always have, like, I got Christian friends all over the country, and it's growing all over the world, actually. So we were going to do it in Switzerland a few weeks ago. I had a Swiss brother. He was going to translate and all this, but it ended up raining and it didn't happen. But yeah, it's pretty awesome, man. If all we have to do is just say yes and say, like, you know, not be afraid of man and be bold and, you know, just share our heart. And it's pretty simple. Any of us could do it. I'm not more special than anybody. And I do. I know I have, like, influence with my fans and everything. So yeah, that makes it a little easier for me. But yeah. But yeah, any of us could do it, you know.
Man, that's a tremendous word to end our conversation on. Brian Hedwelch has been with us. The New York Times bestselling author. The book, his newest, is called Eyes Wide Open, Miracles and Mistakes on My Way Back to Korn. And we do have 2 copies of the book to give away. If you'd like to enter into the drawing, myfaithradio.com is the place to go. Just look for the On the Road page and send us a note right there saying that you'd love to enter for a chance to win the book. And brother, I mean, it's been just a blast to have you today. As we say farewell, I know that the book is available in stores everywhere, but you have a website as well. People could probably start there too, huh?
Yeah, brianedwelts.net, facebook.com/brianedwelts, all one word. Twitter, Instagram, it's all one word. Just trying to change the world one person at a time, just like all of us. We're all a walking house of God, and anything we do should be ministry to in some way, shape, or form. You know, even if it's just like giving people a smile and you know, being really kind to them. So I'm in it with everybody listening. We're all in it together.
Amen. Well, it's been a real refreshing experience to chat with you, sir. Thank you so much for your time today.
Awesome. Thank you. It was great to talk to you as well.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.